Let's give them a big hand also. Come on, church. I can feel at home. Third time they come back. There's some people on this side, message notes. Where did you guys? You guys must have come in through these back doors. Amen. Greeter didn't get you today. Amen. Everyone has something that they're afraid of. I don't care if you're the biggest, baddest dude around with bad breath, but you got something that you're afraid of today. And God knows my fear. He knows what scares me the most. And I looked at the top 10 things that scare Americans the most, and I'm doing them on a backwards thing today. And so they're going to show that to you if they can. I'll go ahead and shout them out to you. What scares us the most? PowerPoint's not working right now. So we'll go ahead and go with it as we go. Number 10 is thunder and lightning. How many of you remember thunder and lightning when you were a kid? Pretty scary, right? Isn't there? Yeah, one child raised their hand. When I was a child at home, my biggest thing was remember that the closet had to be closed, because if it wasn't, then you something would come out at night when it got dark. But y'all don't remember that when you were a kid? Maybe it's too long ago, right? And so at bedtime also, remember if you hung your hand down off the bed, somebody would grab you from underneath and take you under. There's always something underneath. How did I ever survive to get to be this age after all that, right? My children, when they were a lot younger, went through the things of, I don't know what it is about, they became really scared about things, and we really tried to teach them not to be because of what we raised them in, but they were kids. And Rebecca was scared of, we went to this alien ride. It was like an alien thing, and they put you like in this pod, like you were going to be, become an alien. It was like a four sensory thing. You got sight, sound, you even got some stuff splashed on you that was like blood, but it was water, because an alien was going through killing people in that pod that you were in. And so Rebecca was right next to me. She was brave enough to go with Daddy on that ride. And she was like, and you couldn't get out and run out of this cage because they locked you in. And so as soon as it was over, man, she shot out of there and ran back to Irma and Andrew. Andrew was smart enough not to go. And she got out of there. But she was. I remember Andrew, that same theme park that, remember their movie Bug's Life? Disney made it a couple of years ago, long ago. Well, he was like, it was the same thing, sight, sound, and sensory. You would sit in this movie theater, and there was ever like a bugs crawling on you, you would feel them on the seat, but they weren't bugs, they were like kind of the seat moving. And so we found him on the ground in the movie, and like he was weeping and crying, like, because he was feeling all like, Daddy, they're gonna. I said, no, they're not on you, son. It's a bug's life, okay? And but anyway, dogs are pretty frightful, aren't they? Number 9, if they're growling at you, they're showing you their teeth. And cats, I don't know why they didn't make the list, but cats, when they evolve, they get thumbs. Cats with thumbs are scary. I don't care what you say, amen. So you don't want cats. How about flying on an airplane, turbulence? Yeah, mice. I still hate shots and they draw blood. I don't like to see that needle coming at me, so I close my eyes and do this. How about you guys? Look at the needle. Look what it does, right? It goes into you and it makes you bleed. That's not very pleasant. Okay, number 5 is spiders. Who's scared of spiders? Anybody be honest? You're in church. Okay, good. A couple of y'all. Good. Heights and being in small places, and you have to respect a height, man, because if you get up there, you can fall, right? Public speaking, that's tough, right? I get no respect, amen. Yeah, and nobody likes public speaking. How about snakes? Yeah, number 1 on the list. And about 2 weeks ago, I was in O.P. Schnabel, and there's all these nice bike trails, so I was riding my bike, and I was from here to the door, and I saw this thing across the road, and I said, look at that hose in the middle of the trail. But I was coming up pretty fast, I was doing good. And I got closer and closer, and I could have turned off, but I said, I wonder what it's going to be like to run over a hose, So I thought it was an adventure, boring, riding. So I said, I'm going to make it. So I kept cruising, and I got closer. And when I was right on top of it, it was like this long 8-foot, 10-foot snake, 20-foot snake. It was long, man. It was across the thing. By the time I got home, it was. And so as I went across it, I went doo doo. And I looked back, and that thing had crawled in. That snake crawled back into the. But then I remembered what Jesus told me, he said, that my foot would tread upon and smash the snake's head. I stomped out the head, but with my bike as I kept going. I did not look back. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. I got that snake. Amen. I can identify with being scared of snakes. How about you, right? As long as you keep moving, give me a good amen. Paul wrote to the Philippian church because they were dealing with fear. It said, be anxious for nothing. Don't get worried about anything, he was telling them. He said, what do you mean, man? Don't get worried about anything. Do you live in our world? And Paul would look at him and say, look, I'm in jail right now. They've tried to kill me. They flogged me almost to death. I've been knocked out a couple of times. I wasn't supposed to be living. So don't worry about anything if you're part of the kingdom of God. He had to tell them that, right? And we get all worked up about things. If I would have wrote the Philippians, I would have probably put, not be anxious for nothing. I would have put, be anxious for everything. But no one's like me, right, everybody? You ever play the what if game? It starts evolving. What if this happens? And what if that happens? And because that happened, that's going to happen. And Joyce Meyer said this statement, and I never forgot it. And you know how Joyce talks, so I'm going to do my best Joyce Meyer imitation. Is that okay with everybody this morning? Close your eyes and you'll think it's a man, okay? Worry is like a down payment on a problem that will never happen. Joyce Myers, amen? Thought it was a man speaking to me, amen? Imagine if she yelled at you, amen? That would be scary, amen? Hundreds of times, over and over in the Word of God, it says, fear not, by different people. Angels show up. Fear not, fear not, fear not. And it's told hundreds of different ways. It's said the most in God's word about not fearing today. What if fear is winning the day if it's being consumed by it and faith isn't? What if you prayed and nothing has come through yet because of the fear? What if there is an atmosphere of faith all around you and of fear all around you and that's winning? In the Bible, there were great men and people just like you that were legends of the faith. That they let fear come into their lives and it consumed them, and because God didn't answer them the way that they wanted them to be answered. Just like you. Yeah. They had that. So deep in their hearts, something began to happen, and it showed about it in the Old Testament, New Testament. This fear rose up, but even anger rose up because, God, you didn't answer me when I wanted you to answer me this right way. It's upsetting to me now. And there's an anger built up. There's things that rise up that come into our walk with God that have no place because God's still God. Even in the middle of a storm, do you understand that today? In the middle of a fearful situation, God's still good. So the disciples found them in this what if game that they were playing. And they were with Jesus, just like God is with you in your heart, beloved, this morning. And they played that game over and over. And God had to tell them, why is it that you have no faith after all this time today? And God's been living in you since you've received Christ in your heart, and he's that way today. And so in Mark chapter 4, Jesus begins to teach about like seeds and soils and the atmosphere of the earth and how seeds grow up and how some push away and get stronger and stronger, mustard seed faith. And he connects a story about the storm that happens to the disciples when he's asleep on this cushion. I'm going to read it to you in a moment. And it connects this way. Atmospheres are very important in your life. You can have a fear atmosphere, what if, or you can have a faith-filled atmosphere of faith. And it's just where you choose. Because even a seed, if it's in the right atmosphere, will germinate, will continue to grow. Right, everybody? Amen. And even a person scared can get back into faith if they speak the right thing and have the atmosphere of faith. I'm preaching better than you're saying amen, but I'm going to take it. Amen. We're going to go ahead and go this way. So let's look at the Word of God. In Mark chapter 4 on the big screen, verse 35, you can look at it on your phones also. And let's go there. The day when the evening had come, it was getting dark. So Jesus said to disciples, let us go over to the other. Why don't you turn towards your neighbor? Turn towards two people because someone might not look at you the first time. Say, let's go over to the other side. Yeah, that first person may not want to look at you, but the second person looked at you if you said it twice. Amen. But some of you didn't say it. Leaving the crowd behind, they took along with him just as he was in the boat, and there were others in the boat with him. And I noticed that real, that's just striking to me, the others that were in the boat with him, because you moved a little bit too quick, but you can. There are other people in our community that preach about Jesus, and they're called the church. And just because they don't go to Living Faith Church doesn't mean that we're against them. Give me a good amen. Amen. See, we're for other churches if they're preaching the gospel. If they're preaching there's one way to heaven, which is Jesus. I'm all about that church. I'm all about that pastor and praying for them. Amen. They may make the hamburger a little bit different, but that's okay. We're winning when we support churches, right, everybody? And so they're with Jesus. The disciples came one time and they said, hey, they were casting out demons in your name. And we told them to stop. And Jesus said, why'd you do that? They were for us. They're not against us. They're part of us today. And so thank God for every church on our block, every church in the zip code of 78227, every church on the west side, south side, north side, east side, other side. Amen. Anyway, thank God for it. Right, everybody? Amen. It says there were other boats with him. Verse 37, a furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat and they were nearly swamped. And Jesus was asleep in the stern, asleep on a cushion. Thank God for beauty rest. Amen. Thank God for that cushion. Even back then, there was a pillow. I'm glad that they were invented. I would have did okay then. How about you? Amen. Yeah, I would have got some beauty rest, right? And so the disciples woke up and said, teacher, don't you care if we drown? And he got up and he rebuked the wind and he said to the waves, quiet, be still. And the wind died down and was completely calm. And he said to the disciples, why is it you were so afraid? Do you still have no faith? And they were terrified and they asked each other, who is this that even the wind and the waves obey him? I think they were more terrified that the shower head, it was just like a shower head being turned off, that's as quick as Jesus turned off the wind and the waves. Isn't that amazing? You jump into the shower, you can turn it off. Well, Jesus did that with the elements. And that's pretty awesome, isn't that, about our Savior? Yeah. I want to give you principles about the storm, approaching the storm, what happens during the storm in your life. Just some things. By the way, I was in Washington, D.C. this week, Four Square Convention, but I've noticed when I get away from the atmosphere of my office and home and the church, I get to study more because I don't get the interruptions. And not that I'm not about getting none of that. I love being with the church, but when I get away and I get to the other side, things, I get to look at God's word. And I just found so much truth this week. I hope as I unpack it with you that you'll receive what I received because I preached to me first here. And then I want you to get yours today. Amen. Are you ready? Amen. Let's look at the first thought is this, the calm before the storm. Boy, it sure is quiet out there. You sure it's going to rain? No, it said it on my app. It's coming at 3 a.m. It's going to happen. It sure is quiet out there. It's coming at 5. We better get to the store fast and get back, right? So in Mark chapter 4, when the evening had come, he said to the disciples, let us go over to the other side. Now, when God promises to do something, it's going to come about. We're going to the other side. I'm not just sending you. I'm going with you, so we're going to the other side. That's why it's so important that we feed our faith and starve our fear, that it's promised to me that I would have healing in my life. It's promised to me that my house would be saved and I would be saved also. It's promised to me that I would have a marriage that's not only filled with just a piece of paper, but I would have intimacy. Do you understand that today? Amen? You receive the promises of God and you feed your faith and you starve your fear. And I'm just not throwing promises out at you that you say, well, that never happened to me. And there's great disappointment. I'm going to speak at that if you'll just hang on a moment today. Amen. I'm so glad that Jesus never said, let us go to the other side and perish. No, he gave them a promise, right, everybody? They promised that. Next Sunday, I'm going to preach about your destiny, that God knows my destiny and he knows your future on the other side. How many are you going to try to come next week? Come on, you can lie in church, amen? That means that you have good intentions right now, and if you don't show up next week, you lied, okay? I wanted to go, but, you know, something happening. I notice in disobedience the storm that happened in the Old Testament character of Jonah. he was in a pretty bad storm. And God sent a storm in a big fish for him because he disobeyed, right? Amen. But these guys were different. They were like you. They were obeying God. They were on church. They were coming to Living Faith on Sunday morning. They were doing everything they could to raise their children, to do the right thing as a young person here, to live for Jesus. They were doing the right thing. But why was it that they were in a storm? I believe sometimes that Jesus doesn't really test us, but he wants to teach us something through a storm. More things are caught than taught. And something that they would catch later on about faith and about living not in fear was a good lesson to learn in the middle of a storm. And so right now, would you embrace what you're in if you're going through something fearful or a storm? Because it can turn. Now, if you've caused it, that's another story. God can still redeem that thing that you messed up and you brought about. We cause our storms sometimes, don't we? Yeah, we bring it about. But if you're doing everything that you can and you're the will of God, maybe because of that you're doing the will of God, there are still good things, but you're in a storm, and that's okay. Keep pushing through, amen. Listen to God during this moment, right, everybody? Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat, and there were other boats with him. I love that they took Jesus along. Get in, Jesus. We're fishermen. We know how to steer this thing. We know what to do. We're experienced. You're the rabbi. Get in. They took Jesus just as he was along with him in the boat, just as he was. Don't make Jesus into something that he's not. Don't mold him into anything that a little God or a little answer. You got to take Jesus just as he is. He's still Lord, right, everybody? Amen. No, I want him this way. I want the church to be this way. I want my husband. Take Jesus just as he is into your home, right, everybody? Amen. Believe God and he will be God in your home, right? Amen. There's a wonderful scripture about Joshua in the Old Testament. He was a commander, a captain, full of confidence. He led many battles. He was a win-win-win guy. But Moses died and it came upon him suddenly. Now he's commander-in-chief, no longer just the chief. He's it. And he gets a little bit probably fearful of the future. And he was a mature man, but he was a Christian just like you in the sense he needed God. So he fed his faith, and he starved his fear. In Joshua 1:9 on the big screen, "Have I not commanded you to be strong and courageous, and do not be afraid, do not be discouraged?" Who's talking right now? God to Joshua, to you. "For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you..." Yeah. And he sought God, and God commanded him to do something. He was recognized as a guy that knew command because he was a warrior, and God commanded him, and he took God at his command, and he lived out the command. He had his moments because he was human, just like you and me, but he lived for God. And you can do the same, beloved. Amen. Lord, let your word command me today what to do, right? Yes. Command me in all things, God. I'm here. I'm going to listen to you. Get the promise, get God's commandment, and move ahead. I'm going to move ahead real quick. There's these wrong voices that I want to pause with you on. And wrong voices will feed your fear. And they'll starve your faith. I think the worst thing that's ever happened in my lifetime is 24-hour news. And now the whole thing's crept up that we're living just with everything right at our side with a phone that we can't just let it go. It's the worst thing that ever happened to me in my lifetime. Because before that, I didn't know that London got bombed and God blessed the people. I didn't know that Paris was on a terrorist. I didn't know any of that until maybe the newspaper came or I watched it at 5 o'clock or I watched it at 6 o'clock. But now I get it in an instant because it's fed on my phone and it shoots up a blurb. And that helps me to pray more, but it's almost like this happens. Well, are they coming to America? Is that going to happen? And it might. But do you understand that, how we're living now because we're listening to the wrong voice? If you're watching 24, I will know this. I'm going to tell you something right now. If you're watching news 24/7 and you won't let go of your phone, you're listening to the wrong voices this morning. If you can't put down your phone for a moment to worship God on a Sabbath, then you're listening to the wrong voices this morning. If you're upset You might be a redneck. No, if you're upset, I'm glad you're here this morning. If you're upset because they haven't texted you back after 10 minutes or 10 seconds, you're listening to the wrong voice. What's wrong? I sent them the text 30 minutes ago. Why didn't they answer me? I told them LOL. Why didn't they tell me LOL back? If you're not even going to the restroom and you're laying in your bed looking at your Twitter feed, your social media post, and how did Instagram and all that stuff before you even go to the restroom, then you're listening to the wrong voice. At least go to the restroom, bro. Come on. Amen. Can I tell you something about me? True confession. About like springtime, you know how it gets with allergies around here? If anybody lives like that. I started having these. Well, the doctor told me, hey, you got to make sure you're doing the nose thing and whatever that's called. And you're taking, you're popping that thing at night, which is, and you know, because if not, you're going to get messed up this allergy season. And so I started doing that regimen 24/7. I was pumping my nose. I was taking these pills. I was shooting up. I was doing, and so I was going, man. And then, you know, all of a sudden, man, I shouldn't even told you that, but my thumb started moving involuntarily. Like, you know, it started shaking. I'd be like pausing. And there it goes, moving. I was going, what's going on with me, man? So I went on WebMD because that tells you everything, right? Went on WebMD, true story. I went on WebMD. I said, you know, my thumb's shaking involuntarily, symptoms. And it came, you know, about it. It said, you may have Parkinson's, the beginnings of I got Parkinson's. I'm not making something light because people have that. But, you know, Irma got home because I'd been on the web. I self-diagnosed myself. I said, man, I got Parkinson's. What am I going to do? The church? What if? You know, and how are we going to do it? And all the bills that are going to come in. What if I'm going to get the insurance? Get insurance now. Let's get life insurance now before I get tested. And then, you know what? I read a little bit more on WebMD, and it said, get off allergy medicine because you're on so much. It's messing your blood pressure up, and you're messed up. And I got off all the allergy medicine, and I blew my nose real hard in the shower, and I got better. And my thumb wasn't shaking involuntarily. And I was listening to the wrong voice. And I know you're not like Nava, so I'm going to pray for me, amen, because you're not like me. You didn't answer me when I text you. Well, I had no cell phone coverage for 30 minutes. Would you give me a break? Amen, right, everybody? Everything that you ever wanted is on the other side of fear. The second thought is this. Does God really sleep? Glenn Burris said this, the struggle is real, but so is God. And you're going through a struggle, but God is just, I want you to brave the wave today under the Holy Spirit's covering. In Psalms 121 on the big screen in your handout, you haven't had any fun all day. I found the beautiful passage in the Message Bible, the MSG Bible, that Chinese food Bible, amen. And it says this, why don't you read it together on three? Come on, you make good confession here. Are y'all with me? On three, come on, church. One, two, three, go. I looked up towards the mountains. Does my strength come from the mountains? No. In the mountains. Not on your life. Israel's guardian will never doze or sleep. Yeah, God is my covering, and God covers me. And it says in the Word of God right there that He'll never slumber or sleep. Now, Jesus was fully human and fully God, and it shows it in this story that He was fully God, the way He commanded the storm to cease. But He was also a man, and He needed rest. And He'd been through, and the beautiful thing about just you needing rest, it's not that you don't need to watch out for faith. I'm watching for my miracle. I'm looking for my miracle. I'm like that pit bull. I'm not going to let go. But there's also this rest of faith like this. God has this. God's going to take care of this. We don't need to get uptight about this. I've been through this before. God's going to take care of us. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. And you ought to have that. That's why he said, why is it you still have no faith? After all the life lessons that we've been through, I fed 5,000 people. I touched blind eyes. And he said, you got to learn. Amen. We got to get on with this thing today that we're overcome by worry. We get swamped by it. Think about all the things that Jesus could have stayed awake about with fear. His family thought he was a lunatic. His mother and brothers and sisters at one can only go so far. Is that okay, everybody? That dog's on a leash, amen? So just call, bark at me. Is that okay? Imagine the needs that Jesus had to do in his physical ministry to help people. And those needs had to be met. He could have stayed awake and fearful of that. But in spite of it, Jesus went to sleep on a cushion and just was blessed today. And again, you have a watch of faith that you can be aggressive about your healing, that you become, but you got to also get to the point like, hey, you know what? God has this. We can rest in our faith, right, everybody? Hit your neighbor and say, rest in your faith. Was it wrong that they woke up Jesus because the boat was almost filled with water and they weren't taking the water out, bailing the water out? You know what was wrong about them? The way that they woke him up. You ever been woke wrong? Who's a mama here? Who's a dad? They wake you up wrong and the whole day's wrong. Give me a good amen. And they woke up Jesus and he wasn't like you and me when they wake somebody up wrong. They woke up Jesus with the thing like, don't you care that we're going to perish? Don't you care that we're going to die? Don't you care? And it was almost like, would you help me the way I want to be helped? Because many of us want to be helped, but we want to be helped the way we want to be helped. And God wants to help you and take over the whole deal and be in the boat with you, but you want to be helped. See, we're fishermen. We know what we're doing. We're experiencing this. I've been through this problem, but this is the way you need to help me for me to get help. And God is saying, no, I'm not about that. I'm not going to help you the way that you want to be helped. I'm going to help over, but I'm going to take over everything, and I want to take over your life. Get the right kind of help by God by surrendering them and wake them up the right way. Give me a good amen. They lived on water. They knew what it was about. And in the storm, it was a place of fear, but it was also a place of test that they had to go through. I believe sometimes we have the wrong approach. You go through something, and it's how you act when you go through it because there's no margins in your life. Margins are, they keep you safe. Do you recognize that? So many of us, we spend more than we make, and then we get all uptight when we don't have money at the end of the month, but you didn't live according to a budget, and you need to get into a budget because you have the wrong approach, right, everybody? Well, we work, you know, 30 minutes away, and you leave like you live 15 minutes away, and you know you're going to hit traffic. You know you're going to get stressed out, and you're cussing on 410, you're cussing on 1604 because you have the wrong approach. And it's not their problem. I'm all stressed out about work. Well, leave on time. Boy, it's quiet in this Baptist church, right, everybody? I know school's over, and students, you know, she's so mean. She gave me an assignment. Yeah, she gave it 3 weeks ago, and you're doing it the night before. Come on, parents, help me out in this room. They gave you a three-week assignment. You could have done it in 3 weeks ago, but you choose to do it the night before. I'm the only one that had children and didn't have the procrastination, right, everybody? You adjust your life
and you don't have the wrong approach. And that's why we notice that Jesus is never asleep. Right, everybody? Yeah, thank God for it today. The third principle is this. Before you check out, don't check out. Amen. Fill in the blank here. Take note of his words. During the times that are tough, amen, we can run on empty, and our faith can run on empty. And fear can get starved, or we can give it the antidote of faith. And faith is built up by God's word. Do you understand that today? And that's the only way it's ever going to be built up. And so the Bible says in Mark chapter 4, verse 39, and he got up and he rebuked the winds and the waves. And he said, what did he say? Quiet. And the wind died down and was completely calm. And he said to the disciples, why are you so afraid? Why is it you still no why is it that you have no faith today? Wrong words that we speak. We create our waves, look at this, with this thing called the mouth. And we use our tongue and it creates waves because we speak out things that aren't. You frame your world by the words that you speak. God framed the earth. Let there be light. Let there be the earth and the heavens. You speak the words of God and they frame your world. And so when you're speaking things like, y'all about to worry me to death if you don't turn off that TV. Anybody have a mama like that? The television, they'd say that over everything. The television was loud. Y'all about to worry me to death. Turn down that TV. I'm like a chicken with my head cut off. You frame the world with your words today. And if it ain't one thing, it's another. I learned in this teaching session one time, when you say something like that with your mouth, that you ought to just go ahead and add this, and that's just the way I want it. So I want you to help me practice that right now. When I say something negative, y'all shout back to me, let's participate, and that's just the way I want it. Y'all about to worry me to death. That's just the way I want it. If it ain't one thing, it's another. I'm running around like a chicken with my head cut off, and that's just the way I want it, because you're speaking those words, and it's causing the words that are going to consume you today, and you got to be speaking God's word today, right, everybody? Amen. And there's spiritual power in God's word. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, for the word of God is alive, and it's active. That means it's very powerful, right? Amen. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates, dividing the soul and spirit, joint, marrow. It judges the very thoughts and intent of my heart today and the attitude of my heart today. Fear will make you miss out on the best of life. I wanted to see that panoramic view of the city, but I'm just so scared of heights. So I can't see the heights today, because the best of God is for you to see that and experience that. The best of God is that you were meant to love people, and that you were meant to help people, but you don't do it because maybe you have this fear of rejection. I would go across the street and meet my neighbor, but I'm fearful that they may make a face at me or say, who do I think that I am? So I'm not going to go across and minister to them. And fear keeps you from the very best of life. You were meant to love people. Did you know that? You were meant to do something for God that only you can do. And if somebody else does it, it's okay, but your touch is supposed to be on it today. And fear, if it keeps you from that, then that neighborhood mom, they need somebody to talk to. And you're in the neighborhood mom, and you're supposed to talk to them. And if it keeps you from that, then that neighborhood mom never, that homeless person, they were meant to get fed. But if you don't reach out to them because of a fear in your life, then they're not going to get fed today. Someone else may come along. Yeah. But you were meant to have that gift to them. And it's supposed to interact in their lives today. Amen. Simply because of fear. In John 1:14, the last scripture that I'll show you on the big screen, John knew about this because he was so close to Christ. And John knew about just the word of God, but how it became flesh.
and how it got skin. And the Word became flesh, and it moved in where? Yeah, it moved in to the neighborhood. That means Jesus moved in. But can I teach you another truth, that everywhere that you go, that God is there? God's in your life, so Jesus is in the neighborhood. He's on the block. He's in the apartment complex because you're there. And so, yeah, you're flesh and blood, and you're in your neighborhood. You're the good news people. You're not the bad news people. We don't want them in the neighborhood. No, they want you in the neighborhood. You bring the redemption to the neighborhood, right, everybody? Because you moved up, the value went up spiritually and probably in taxes also. Give me a good amen. You add value to the neighborhood. And we saw the glory. Here he was with the disciples with our own eyes. Remember when Jesus walked on water and Peter, and he told you to come out with him, and you walked on just for a little bit? Remember when he fed 5,000? We saw the glory, the one-of-a-kind glory. Nobody else has ever been like him. Like Father, like Son, generous from inside out, right, everybody? From start to finish, he was true. They have people that we esteem, but sometimes they don't finish right. Well, Jesus did, right, everybody? They messed up a little bit. You know, they got upset with me, but Jesus, man, he did it right from beginning to the end, right, everybody? When I was teaching my son to ride a bike, and my daughter, we got them all going, and they got bikes. So we went to O.P. Schnabel after they learned to ride their bikes because there's these open trails. We went with a group of friends. They brought their kids too. And my daughter and son, you know, they were within watchful eye, but I told Rebecca, because she was the oldest, about 8, 10 or whatever, Andrew was whatever, a little bit below her. And I said, just make sure he's behind you and he's watching. Y'all are going, you know, on the same trail. And in a moment, you know that thing that happens where they get lost? In a moment, Rebecca came back out of the trail, but Andrew wasn't behind her. And the first thing out of my mouth, casually, I said, hey, where's Andrew? I don't know, Dad. He was behind me. You know, she was steering the bike like Jam Brady. he was behind me a minute ago. And at that moment, parents, you know what it is when you lose your child. Wherever it might be, probably happens to all of us at least once in our lifetime. And everything, I panicked, man. And then the urgency, where is Andrew? Is he calling out to me right now? Irma and I were set. Our friends were set. We went because there's woods and O.P. Schnabel and trails, and it's a beautiful area. But if you get lost and there is a kid, you know, man, what is going on with Andrew? Like, honestly, probably 20 minutes went by, but it seemed like 3 hours. I was about to press 911. Because my kid was gone. I thought somebody had kidnapped him. All these scenarios began to play out in my head, just like they probably play out in your head. And then finally, my friend that was with us found him, came back crying. He said, Daddy, I heard you yelling, but I just couldn't yell loud enough to say, I'm over here, I'm over here. You know when you cry when you can't cry anymore? So glad to see Andrew. And everything was okay. I don't ever want to forget that panic moment, but that urgency that I had, the same urgency that you have in your life to replace fear in somebody's life with faith. We live in a dark world, and there's lots of fear, and you're the good news people that moved in. You're the good news people that live in the work at your workplaces, and somebody ought to be about faith, not fear. Like, what's going to happen if they come over here? What's going to happen if the Zika virus gets us? No, somebody ought to be saying at the workplace, you know what, whatever, we have God, and we should have God in our lives. Somebody ought to be shouting that on the block, right, everybody? I don't know how many scenarios have played out in my lifetime that we were going to die because of swine flus and pig flus and bat flus and monkey flus. And I don't know, amen, thank God, just amen. We keep going on. Amen. If the flu gets us, amen, we go to heaven. I don't want to lose sight of bringing hope to the world. How about you? But have an urgency in me as it was with my son looking for him. And you must do also that way if you're a Christian and God's people. You moved into the neighborhood and things are better today. Amen. What is this? I got some cheat notes here. Anybody ever cheat on a test? Some of you A-plus students, you probably weren't like me. I needed every advantage I could get, so I cheated. And I had to write my notes on my... And so on this one, I have fear. And fear is this atmosphere that comes at us, and it kind of blinds us, and it makes us like, man, what if this happens? What if they die? What if they take over the church? What if they go, you know, do all that? What if that and all this thing just starts to consume me? You guys can come up now. I need your help. And fear just surrounds me, and it overwhelms me today. And it's all over me. Do you understand that today? But then I got faith on this side, because God gives me that ability to have faith, proclamations, and faith in my life. Right, everybody? Somebody shout faith. And so whatever I have today, I have the power today to overcome that and push faith, fear down and put faith around me today. But it's in my realm. What am I feeding today? And what am I starving today? Faith is always going to be lurking. There's always going to be darkness. But today I have the faith of God. Give me a good amen. And so whatever I have that rules me, I want faith to rule me. Right, everybody? Everybody stand to your feet. Let's go. Come on. Everybody, let's look up here. God, I don't want the Holy Spirit to lose this moment. I'm fighting for just God right now to move in your life. And it's a moment right now that can escape us. Look up here, everybody. Yeah. I've been given this powerful weapon of faith. And if I let fear consume me, it will push my faith away. But today, I push faith away. And that's what praise does. Praise. I praise the Lord. There's some fear in my life, but I'm praising God. Yeah, I'm bringing you down. Yeah. And faith will do that when it comes to the realm. You praise Him in the storm. Amen. Come on, Victor. Amen. You praise Him in the storm. I'm going through some stuff, but I'm praising Him in the storm. And that praise brings a sacrifice of praise. I'm fearful, but right now I'm going to pray. You don't think God notices this right now? Amen. Give me a soul clap. You know what a soul clap is? It's like this. I got a feeling everything is going to be all right. You ain't been to the church I have been to. Amen. Amen. You starve it. Amen. You starve that fear and you push it back. Amen. And every time praise comes about. Come on, give me 5 seconds of praise in this house to the Lord. I praise you, Lord. 4, 3, 2, 1. Yeah, praise God. Don't you feel better? And that's why the disciples, when they shouted, "Who is this? That even the winds and the waves obey Him." Amen. And you can do the same thing. You say, "Man, that looked kind of stupid." It's okay. We all look stupid together. Give me a good amen. We all look foolish together. Thank you, Jesus. The real test is to praise God in your home, at your workplace today. You don't have to get fired. You can magnify God, though. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. You gave us wonderful principles today, Lord, from your word. And I believe God's people are going to be better this week because they've heard the word of God and it's been planted in their lives today. Thank you, Jesus. As you continue to pray with me right now, there's a calm before the storm, and you may be in that place of just receiving and everything's good today. But I guarantee you one day there'll be a storm. I don't want it, but it happens. I pray it becomes a test, a teaching in your life today, that you grow. And I'm going to anticipate the storm and the waves, but this time I'm going to praise my way through the storm. I'm going to magnify God. I'm going to get the Word of God in me. I'm going to read God's Word and get stronger. Would you commit to that with me today? When our hands shake, Lord, when we get the report from the doctor, I will
I will go to your word first and foremost, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. It's a dream of God for your life. And the dream of God for your life is that you would always be near to Him. You're far away from God right now. You can come close to our Savior. He's right there. He's a prayer away. He's a moment away right now. You pray this prayer in your heart and say something like this, because you're far away from God, God comes close. Say this prayer in your heart or out loud, however you want to confess it, but you confess it if you're far away. My Father in heaven, forgive me of all my sins. I've done things that are wrong, Lord. I know about them, and I know you know about them. Thank you for your forgiveness. The blood of Jesus, His painful cross, it took upon all my shame. That habit, I'm forgiven. I repent. I change my ways. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I follow you today, Jesus. I'm a disciple of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we love you with all of our hearts. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. We magnify you. Thank you for the sweet anointing of the Lord in this place. Thank you. God is good, right, everybody? Amen. Bless him. Why don't you rest your bodies, and I'm going to get to conclude here. I want to receive today's tithe and offering. And on the screen, I did something for you today about just, I'm going to invite you today to financially support the mission of our church. Sometimes the baskets are a little bit empty, and that's because people are now giving online. It's the very last slide, if you'll show me that slide. And it's, this summer is, you didn't have that well-spent summer for me yet, or it was on my PowerPoint on the very end, if you could. Amen. Thank you, Daisy. Amen. Hey, bless Daisy. Can you bless her? She's in there. The reason why I tell you that is I told her earlier, she's Roger's wife, and she got thrown from the fire, frying pan to the fire, because, she came ready, they both came ready to minister and to do things, and as much help as we always need, thank God for people that are equipped, amen? And so I just bless you, and I thank you, and thank your husband, and y'all are a blessing. Even RJ and Leland are a blessing, amen, to the children's ministry, right, everybody? Amen. Thank God for the gift of God within their lives today, and people that are ready to go to work for the Lord, amen? So, on the well-spent summer, make it one. You can give through your app, through your phone, and there's a way to do that. They'll show you that in a moment. This coming summer, we'll do a summer blast, and it's our VBS on steroids. Our young people, our teenagers, will serve as the coaches of that, and we'll have adults helping out, but our young people will also work this summer. They'll also go to youth camp, our youth camp in Dallas, Texas, as YFN. And so we encourage our young people at Living Faith to serve, because we disciple them. They're our generation now. They're going to continually just do the things that they're supposed to do as a church family. And so this church is about that today. We love our young people at this church, right, everybody? Yeah. And so I invite you this summer to give online, because look, don't miss this with me. I was in Washington, D.C. this week, but I was still able to give. On Wednesday night, I come to church. I don't stay home. You're the pastor. Even if I wasn't the pastor, when I was back in my old church, when I was just a guy coming to church, I would come to church on Wednesday nights. That's what I did. I was a Christian. I came to church. I wasn't working. I came to church on Wednesday nights. If you're working, I understand. If things are happening in your home, you're, you know, whatever. But the Spurs weren't on. I came to church. Amen. Give me a good amen. I came to church. So what I'm getting to is this. Because I wasn't here Wednesday night, my gifts still showed up, because I did it on my phone. I downloaded the app and I dialed the 77 thing. And so I was still able to, because here's the other catch. In my home, 8519 Braun Knoll, where I live with my family, there were still bills to pay there. The light bill's gonna come in. My daughter was there.
and the water bill is going to come in. Just because I wasn't home and I didn't attend my home doesn't mean that there weren't things that needed to get done in my home. Amen, everybody? And back this up a little bit. Just because you don't show up on Sunday morning or Wednesday night doesn't mean that there are things that don't need to get done here that need finances. Amen, Pastor. You're preaching good this morning. And so what I want you to do is set up a recurring gift if you can, or set up when you're not here, especially during summertime, because they say that Christians, when they go on vacation, so does their tithe. Not here, though. We're not that sort of church. And so I would love that you would set up a recurring gift when you're on vacation and you would visit the church even with your giving, because God will notice that and He'll bless you. Amen. So can we pray for the tithe and offering today? I have one more announcement to make. We're going to sing through this as a worship experience, because that's what it is. We worship God during this time and we thank the Lord. And so I'll come up and announce one more thing. Father, thank you for the ability to give to you. You've given us so much, Lord. You've given us everything. And God, you've allowed us to keep 90 and steward that 90% because it's yours anyway. And you say, just return to me 10. Honor me with the 10th. And if you want to live in the New Testament, the Bible advises to be generous above and beyond that. So thank you, Lord. We're not going to be hemmed into the 10th. We're going to go above and beyond that because we're generous people. Bless the people of the Lord as we bring our tithe and worship to you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Please don't leave. I have one more thing to tell you. It's very important to our church family, but let's give to the Lord right now.
You know, I'm gonna say something about tithing real quick. It's kind of on my heart. I sing a song. I haven't sang it here yet, but it's called "Have It All." And as Christians, you know, growing up in the youth ministry, I came to this belief. I came to this thought, right? Why are we called Texans? Anyone know? Because we live in Texas, right? Okay, we're called Christians because we live a life in Christ. Amen. And as we read through the Bible, you know, we're told about the tenth and the tithe. And a lot of people, you know, when they hear about tithing, they all of a sudden say, hey, man, the church is trying to suck the money out of me. You know, they just want, hey, you got a good musical experience and you got the word, and they're trying to pull it out of me. Tithing is worship. Man, I'm up here and I every Sunday my throat is raspy. You can ask my wife. Sipping on salt water and trying to get it back just so I can play Wednesday. And I worship with all my heart. Worship with all my heart. I walk out of here sweating buckets because I lay it all. And as we come and we see tithes, you know, it's kind of, hey, man, I ain't got no money right now. I don't got this. I don't got that. I can't give you nothing. I'm not asking you to give me anything. I'm not asking you to give the church anything. I'm asking you to worship with your tithe. You come in here and you place your tithe in the basket, and it's like, hey, I'm giving, man, thanks for the music. Thanks for the word. Thanks for the scriptures. It was amazing. No, you're doing it because you're saying, thank you, God. Thank you for the blood. Thank you for loving a sinner like me. And I'm not worthy of it. I'm not worthy of it. None of us are worthy of it. But still, He continues to give us grace, mercy, kindness, and love. And in return, hey, we worship with our voices. We worship through our actions. We worship through our tithe. Amen. Yes. Amen. So as you know, I know y'all hear a lot of people come up here and sometimes they may sound like, hey, you know, we need your money. No. We want you to worship. We're a house of kingdom builders, right? We want to build up the kingdom. And within that kingdom, we want to build up worshipers. And that experience includes tithing. Amen. So if y'all have it in y'all's heart today and y'all are capable of it, and y'all feel it, the Holy Spirit will pull your heartstrings on tithing as well. Not just coming up to the altar and everything. Hey, you know, there's been days where hey, I got $100 to my name. And you know what I did? I didn't put 10%. Hey, put it all. Put all $100. Me and my wife, man, we struggled. I would say, you know what? I got that faith that mustard seed's going to move a mountain. That mustard seed going into that basket, we'll get a check the next week for 10, you know, for 1,000. You know, hey, it just happens. Because we go in with that faith, that childlike faith that, hey, you know what? Even though that we're hurting and we don't know what's going on and we're confused and man, sometimes it feels like we're down in the dumps, but still we have that faith and we go and give. We know that we'll get it back. Because that's faith. Amen? And that's worship. Amen? So we're going to sing this last song and then just if y'all can just